The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my God has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May the force be with you.
And also with you.
I've had a few folks as of late tell me that they love church, they love worship, they love church people, they love singing and praying and all of the chaos of the children's sermons and all of the stuff that they associate with worshiping together as a faith community. But that they hate sharing the peace. Now, I'm not going to ask you to self-identify because this is not a time of judgment or shame. Instead, I want you to know that if you're thinking to yourself, "Oh crap, she's talking about me," please know that I have had multiple conversations with different people just in the last month who tell me that they hate sharing the peace. So you are not alone. And from those conversations, I don't think that any of you actually don't want to share peace with the other, but I think it's because of some other factor. For some, it's the physical encounter of shaking hands or hugging, maybe because of germs or because it feels like people come into your personal space. For others, I think it feels a little forced. Like there are relationships that we have with others that could suffice with a quick wave of a greeting, and we see them at Safeway and then just keep walking, or maybe not acknowledge them at all. Yet we come to worship and it feels like you have to have this intense, intimate, emotional moment with someone. Now, I will admit that when I was a teenager or coming home for college breaks, that I enjoyed sharing the peace a lot because it was the socially acceptable time that I could stand up and see who else was at church that day. And sometimes I'd strut pretty far away from my family's front pew. Yes, we are front pew people. That's everything you need to know about me. And because I'd worn a particularly cute sundress and I wanted to strut and see, you know, who else was around and could see my cute little church outfit. Now, sharing the peace is one of these unique things that we do as a worshiping community that is pretty countercultural to the rest of our lives. Even if we see someone and greet them with a friendly word or a big hug, we generally don't look into the eyes of someone else at the grocery store or at a community event like Music in the Park and say, "Peace be with you." And while we may have a million different reasons why we don't do that or why we don't like the act of sharing the peace, it comes back to this concept of taking something within me and extending it to connect with something within you. Now, from a church standpoint, sharing the peace is a way of making the human connection after the act of confession and before sharing the Eucharist, the meal, the communion that we have together. It takes the words that we've said, proclaiming our messiness and ways in which we have harmed others and ourselves this week, our confession, we are confessing what we have done and not done, and asking for God to recreate life within us again, where the pastor or a lay person offers a promise of forgiveness, not for me or any other human, but as a reflection of God for the world. Now, for a point of order, if you're like, "Pastor Meredith, we didn't say confession today," that's because in the season of Easter, it's encouraged that we remember our baptism. So that's why you see me starting the service by playing in the water at the font to remind you of your baptism. But starting next Sunday, we'll go back to the order of confession. Now, there is one time of year when we do not typically have the act of forgiveness to follow confession if we have it in the service, where we only have confession. So ignoring that we're doing Thanksgiving and baptism right now. But confession is always followed by forgiveness, except for one service. Anybody happen to know what it is? Good Friday, yeah. And that's because really the forgiveness that comes on Easter morning with the empty tomb and the hooray and hoopla of the resurrection. So that's the only service that you won't hear that act of forgiveness come. Now, sharing the peace takes place as the sweet center of this confession and communion cookie, because it's the way of extending the forgiveness of God's words, represented by the pastor, into the relationships that we hold with one another, so that when we come to the table and receive the meal, we're not coming as enemies, but with each other as resolved community. Now, the act of sharing the peace is not to make you nervous or anxious, or reach for your hand sanitizer, or mysteriously take a phone call during that time. But it's a way of connecting with one another and offering the word of peace after you have heard the word of forgiveness and before you hear the word of welcome at the table. And if I'm honest, this is hard. Not only if you're uncomfortable with the physical act of sharing the peace, right? The germs or the hugs or the physical space, whatever it is. But because being able to look into the eyes of one another and offering them peace is one thing when you love someone and you're on a good page with them. It's a completely different thing when you're not okay with them and you most definitely don't love them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. And then they rejoiced when they saw their Lord. Jesus again said, "Peace be with you." Jesus, post-resurrection, comes to the disciples who, yes, were his friends, but they were also the people who fell asleep in the garden and allowed him to get arrested and ultimately crucified to his death. They were the same people that denied him 3 times before the cock crowed, and they were the same people who lied and questioned and argued and tried to compete over who was the most faithful of them all. These were the same people that Jesus showed up and not only said, "Peace be with you," once, but he said it twice. He said it once before they could quite comprehend what this zombie God coming through locked doors was saying, but he said it a second time once they had understood who he was and why he was standing before them. Now listen, I don't intend to tell any of you how to share the peace. If you would rather stay in your seat and stay focused on your bulletin, great, no judgment, really. If you would rather mysteriously take a phone call, great, no judgment, right? You do you. If you'd rather give the peace sign from a distance, a little wave, maybe a salute, all of it's good with me. All of it's good with God. All of it's good with Jesus. No problems at all. Because sharing the peace isn't about the physical interaction on a Sunday morning, but about recognizing the divine in each person you encounter and making amends with who they are in the world, even if you don't want to touch them. And even more so if you don't want to touch them. Sharing the peace during worship is just one way in which we take what happens in our time of worship together and prepare for the actual journey of following Christ that happens once we leave these doors. Because remember, where were these disciples when Jesus showed up to share the peace? Where were they hanging out? Upper room, they were hiding, right? They were in the house, that space set apart from the rest of the world. That space where nobody else is a part of, but it's just like one space from everybody else. And what was an important feature of that location? The doors were locked, right? Pentecost is the festival in our church lives where we remember and celebrate this holy work of Jesus Christ, taking all of our fears, all of our insecurities, all of our desires to stay locked behind closed doors, behind labels, behind ideologies and beliefs and concepts. And Jesus shows up and says, Jesus shows up and says what? Peace be with you. And he says it again, right? Because we're dense. We need to hear it more than once. Peace be with you. He says it twice, just in that moment. Because we are people that need to hear things over and over and over again, especially when we're afraid. Especially when we're afraid of one another. Friends, what is locked up inside of you? And not just the discomfort of shaking hands, but what is locked up? What is the fear holding you back right now? Or maybe the fear holding you in, or the fear holding you apart. What is locked up so that you can keep yourself safe from the world? Jesus comes into our lives not to destroy the locks or shame you from hiding or blame you from being afraid of people who are different than you. Jesus comes into our lives literally coming through locked doors, locked buildings, locked hearts, and says, peace be with you, not once, but twice. And he says it so that we can hear the message, not only in our shock, but in our full awareness of who this divine being is. Friends, I don't want to convince you to shake hands next time we share the peace. First, I don't care. Second, that's not the point of the sermon. But when you share the peace, whether with words or hand motions, in this space, or as a simple interaction in the world with someone you know or don't know, my hope is that you honor the peace that Jesus has already shown up in the world and hope for that same peace to radiate out of your heart to all who you encounter. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you, dear friends. And may the locks of our hearts fall away to the presence of God coming to dwell with us in our innermost fears, questions, and hopes. Thanks be to God. Amen.